This is the Blind Entrepreneur Podcast, helping millennials execute their vision.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Blind Entrepreneur. I'm your host, Jonathan Grzbowski, and we are on episode 46. Today I have with me David Allen. He's 30 years of age and the CEO of Propernot and David Allen Clothing. The company's purpose is to reintroduce people to the modern-day gentleman. They want to bring back that feel, the 1940s and 50s, where everyone was dressed head to toe, even to places like the grocery store. It's their job to turn men into gentlemen, but also put these gentlemen in the right mindset to dress professionally. David, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for taking the time this morning.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the first question is always an icebreaker. We're trying to get the creative juices flowing a little bit and get into the right mindset, which is probably what we're going to be talking about a lot of today. But imagine you just had the worst day of your life. Maybe you lost a big client. Maybe you just had a bad day personally. But put yourself in the headspace of your worst day ever. What is that one piece of food that's going to lift your spirits higher and make your day better?
That tomorrow's another day. And that's the life of an entrepreneur, is the ups and downs and the roller coaster, that you have to be so balanced that the highs can't be too high and the lows can't be too low, because you're going to have every single day is going to be a variation of both of those. So I always look at it, there's not a bad day, it's more of a bad moment. And it's kind of how you handle that moment to kind of play out the rest of the day. So, you know, you wake up tomorrow and you just get after it. And you know, it's going to end up turning in your favor at some point.
And when you're in that moment, what is that one piece of food that's going to make your day better?
It's honestly, it's just knowing what you've busted your butt to do and how you've gotten to that point. And it's essentially just having that know-how that you're going to be the key to get to that next level. And you just have to believe in yourself, believe in your product. And if you do the right things and you treat people with respect and you just follow the right path, it's going to work out. And that piece of food is essentially just kind of never giving up and just believing in yourself.
Interesting. So you're taking the complete philosophical approach in answering the question. Usually I'm getting French fries, pizza. Now you're just like, you're eating life.
That's it. The journey is very, very difficult, but it's the best journey that you could possibly be on. And that's what motivates me. That's what gets me through all this stuff is just that sheer excitement for everything. And that's what fuels me.
So the answer to your question says a lot about who you are as a person. So the first real question is, tell us about yourself. Who are you and what is your story?
Yeah, so I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My background is actually 8 years in the medical world. I was doing medical sales, selling high-end pieces of equipment to hospital settings and freestanding doctor clinics. And I've always kind of had a knack for fashion. I started my first business when I was 23, where we made custom neckties for organizations. So they'd buy, you know, 200 or 500 neckties with their company logo on it, and then they would give them out as gifts to employees, different things like that. So I kind of did that on the side for about 4 years and realized it wasn't really going to where I wanted it to be. It was more of a hobby for other people, and for me, it was trying to be my life. You know, you learn the business, you learn the process, how to get through things. And I ended up one day kind of seeing a necktie that if you tied it a certain way, the knot was a different color. But for me, that was one distinct necktie that you could only wear every 6 to 8 weeks without somebody saying, hey, you wore that already. So I just kind of sat back and I said, you know, how do we make that and simplify it? So I came up with essentially the proper knot, which is an interchangeable necktie knot. And I went to a seamstress and I said, hey, I have this product, I have this idea, can you help me make it? And she said, yeah, not a problem. So 2 months passed, 3 months passed, and she just kept dragging me on. So she just said, hey, I can't help you, it's not going to work. Went to another lady, and within 2 weeks, she said, hey, I have something for you. And essentially, it was a piece of elastic with fabric on it. And I just had this big vision that, you know, hey, holy crap, this is it, this is what I need. And from that point, we had 7 evolutions of the product. And then throughout trying to grow and develop that product, I started doing custom clothing. I was buying it, teaching myself how to measure. So, you know, I ordered the first time, it looked like the suit was actually painted on me. Mm-hmm. ordered another suit, changed the measurements a little bit more, did that for 3 or 4 months, and then I started selling suits to my friends for, you know, a couple dollars over cost, covering my cost so I could, you know, dress for free. And then I started seeing how much this was really taking off, and I started capitalizing on that. And, you know, fast forward to a year later, we have 12 employees that are all over the country that are working, just kind of hustling the brand. And, you know, every month we're growing, you know, 50 to 60%.
Very nice. Very cool. So you mentioned that at 23 is kind of like where it started. Now, I want to know at least a little bit further back. Was there any other point in time where you started to become entrepreneurial?
Yeah, well, it's funny. I had this conversation with somebody the other day. Back in first grade, I used to go to like a small thrift store and buy candy and, you know, boxes of Skittles, Starburst, things like that. And I'd spend $2-3 on a box of candy, and then I would take it to school and sell those packs for 50 cents or a dollar each. And then I also remember my brother and I bought creepy crawler machines. I don't know if you remember those. You know, we'd sell a scorpion for 25 cents or a spider for 50 cents, things like that. So that was really the first kind of the hustle that I started. And, you know, then I started doing lawn care throughout middle school and, you know, making $20 here, $30 there. And I just realized the value of just kind of working and hustling.
Sure, sure. So, you know, when it comes to fashion, it's definitely not something that you just wake up one day and you're like, you know what, I'm going to dress professionally. So when was that aha moment where you wanted to just go all in on your passion or, you know, like where did just that passion of dressing nice professionally and also just being a professional in mindset, where did that all come from?
You know, I've always had interest in fashion. I've always had a unique sense of style. But I think where it really transpired was throughout my professional career, you know, being in medical and dealing with physicians and, you know, you're going to these conferences all over the country and you're dealing with all kind of different people from all over the world. And I've always realized that people want to do business with people that dress the part. And it has a lot of confidence that's built into it. So, you know, if you put two people in a room and one person's dressed head to toe in a nice custom suit, they're well put together versus someone that's not, you're probably going to gravitate towards that person that's dressed like they can accomplish something or they've handled things. And I think over the last 8 years in the healthcare world, I think I've just kind of realized, you know, it also boosts your confidence too. You know, if you don't have to worry about your outfit, what you're wearing, and you're very confident in how you woke up and left the house looking, I think that goes for how the rest of your day is going to go. And that could be closing a big deal for your business or just going out smiling and having fun with friends. You're just going to feel a lot better about life and, you know, just everything in general.
Yeah. And I can definitely attest to that. It's huge. The confidence level, just knowing what you're worth, who you are as a person. So let's talk about the Proper Knot and the clothing company that you own. Where, you know, obviously we found out how it started, but what are these organizations? What do they do, and how do they help the modern day gentleman become a professional?
Sure. Yeah. So the Proper Knot's such a unique product. Again, it's an interchangeable necktie knot. So you tie your tie. And the purpose is you slide the proper knot over top of your current existing necktie, and it changes the look of only the knot. So, you know, essentially it's great. You walk into the room, if you have the proper knot on, somebody's going to stop you and say, hey, I love your tie, or where did you get that necktie? And it's a great conversation starter. You know, then you can kind of get in and talk about, well, it's not actually a necktie. It's an accessory to a necktie. And the icebreaker is very crucial. It's one of those products that everywhere you go, somebody's going to at least mention it. If you see 10 people, 9 out of 10 are actually going to stop you and say something, which is pretty unique. And, you know, again, in a world of everybody trying to separate themselves from other people, men's fashion has not changed in years. And essentially, this is the first product to really disrupt the fashion scene, you know, since pocket squares, lapel flowers, and neckties are really all that it's been. And now we fall into that category with the proper knot. So I think as far as it's just a product that allows you to stand out and just be unique and be different. And, you know, every single person, the way they dress, the way they act, the way they talk, are all basically expressions of their personality and who they are and how they feel. Well, you know, the same way that you dress is the definition of who you are. And, you know, in today's society, everybody's prejudged before they open their mouth. And, you know, as soon as you walk into a room, people are already forming opinions of you. So, you know, that's why fashion to me is such a powerful form of expression and a powerful form of art. Because without saying anything, you're able to express who you are. And I think both these products, our custom clothing line, as well as the Proper Knot, go hand in hand with regards to kind of that freedom of expression and really capturing an audience. Mm.
So the people listening, they may be tech nerds that are listening right now.
Sure.
They may be business professionals, entrepreneurs, whatever it may be to the people that are listening. Let's walk through the process of what you believe is a modern day gentleman. You know, what does that attire look like? Now, obviously, you know, every look is going to be different for everybody. Absolutely. So that's understanding. But what are some key essentials that you would suggest to somebody who wears a t-shirt every single day and that's what's considered their suit?
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting. You know, our big push with this whole bringing back the modern day gentleman is essentially, you know, back in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, it was really cool to walk out of your house and to have a suit on, to go to church, have a suit on, to travel on an airplane, you have a suit on. Even gentlemen that go to the grocery store had suits on. But on top of that, opening a car door for a woman was powerful. You don't see that anymore, and it's kind of sad that it's changed. You know, if you're in a crowded room and there's a guy sitting down, he should get up and stand up and let the woman sit down. So we're trying to kind of put that mindset in with our clothing. And if you look at some of our photos online on how a lot of our clients dress now and when we style them, it almost essentially looks like it's a 1940s, 1950s suit with the different color schemes, the different patterns, but obviously in today's society. And it brings that confidence back from then, and it makes it cool again to dress up and just treat people with respect. You know, and to your comment about, you know, the guy that would wear his t-shirt as a suit, I always challenge those people that, hey, yeah, that's comfortable and that's great to wear, but there's just a different feeling about having a custom suit on, and it's a different confidence level. And anytime I challenge somebody and they do something and they jump into a custom clothing, they always say, I never really realized how powerful this feeling actually is. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with dressing up in a t-shirt or being casual, because I do that as well. But I think when it comes down to business and treating people with respect, it adds that different element by just be dressed head to toe.
Mm. So that's very interesting. And when it comes to just the ideas of business, and you're working and you're wearing t-shirts, I guess, like on a day off or something like that, do people look at you and say, you know, hey man, like you're supposed to be the suit guy and you're wearing a you know, a Pittsburgh Pirates t-shirt or something like that?
It is funny. I there's a couple of days a week where I just, you know, I gotta throw the gym shorts on. And
sure. Even when you go to the gym, you're like, hey, you're wearing gym shorts, man. What's up?
Well, with that being said, I always try to at least match. I dress the shoes to match the shirt, different nice. Things like that. So I at least try to stay on point with the mix and match look that I do. And people always do say, hey, you know, even in your casual attire, you still dress the part. So. I just take pride in when I leave the house. I just try to look well put together, whether it's casual or business professional. It's something that's near and dear to my heart and very important.
I couldn't agree more. Now, to the people who've never purchased a custom suit,
sure.
Places like Macy's, places like, you know, Indochino, who claims that nothing against them, who claims that they're professional or that it's a custom suit, but you know, it really isn't. So, what would you say is the difference between a custom suit and working with a professional like yourself versus the competition?
Yeah, so you know, the Macy's, you brought them up, the Indochino. So, a lot of those companies, you go into Macy's and you'd buy a suit for $300, $400, $500, whatever their price point is. You're purchasing a suit that was not made for you. And then they're tailoring it, altering it to make it fit for you. The biggest difference is we actually measure you. We take 17 measurements, and then we'll do a couple additional measurements on top of that, depending on body style. But we take the fabric and we cut that specifically based on the measurements that we submit. So the fit that you're going to get from a custom suit versus the fit that you're going to get from a suit that was altered for your body is going to be night and day between the two. And it's the whole experience too. You know, what we do is we have 12 guys that are working with us, and we come to the office or somebody's home. We sit down with them. We measure them up. We pick out the fabric, the exterior, the interior, the buttons, the lining, the felt, everything from head to toe. And it's an experience. You know, our suits start at $800. So the cost is a little bit more. But also it's an investment. It's not just an investment in a wardrobe. It's an investment in your future. It's an investment in your personality and everything else. So, it's a very drastic difference. And at the end of the day, if you buy a suit for $400 or $500 from Macy's, you drop $200 or $300 into alterations, you know, for a little bit more, you could have got something that was made specifically for you.
Yeah. So when you're walking into these people's homes, yeah, let's just talk about some of the people that you've actually dressed. So being a huge WWE fan like myself, you've been able to, you know, make suits, create an experience for people like Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Sheamus, the Usos, Titus O'Neil. I mean, the list goes on and on, but just name some additional people that you've worked with and are going to be working with.
Yeah, we in addition to those guys, we just did a suit for Bubba Dudley, so he's another client of ours. I did a suit for Renee Young, who's our first female WWE star that we're working with. From WWE, I also did a suit for The Miz for the Hall of Fame this past April. Wade Barrett was a client of ours as well. Ryback, which he's one of the bigger clients that we have. And then from there, we branched into ESPN. So I did do suits for Jonathan Coachman. And now I'm getting ready to start traveling to ESPN every couple months to style basically as many sportscasters as I can. Through that, we've gotten to the NFL, working with, I just did a suit for Tyler Boyd, who was picked up by the Cincinnati Bengals out of Pittsburgh. Working with a couple Steelers this fall. And then July 18th, I'm flying out to Boston to do some clothing for David Ortiz for the Boston Red Sox. So it's just, we're really just growing like crazy. We're going to potentially start to do some suits for some UFC fighters. Our name is getting out there very quick. And I think it comes down to how we treat our clients and, you know, customer service in whether you're selling soda or whether you're selling clothing. Customer service is what makes or breaks a company. And I believe that we try to go above and beyond traditional customer service just to make it that experience that much more exciting for somebody.
So you got into this is going to be more of a sales question, right? You know, like people would kill to have, you know, names like the people that you have. And, you know, although people are very different than actual companies, could you just go into like how you reached the one individual, you know, whoever that first main individual was, and then what did you do in order to just get the other ones? How did you ask for the referral, et cetera? Just go through that sales process with us.
Yeah, so this all started October of 2015 when WWE Raw came to Pittsburgh. Titus O'Neil was actually my first client. A buddy of mine from Pittsburgh had introduced me to him. I ended up sitting down with him at the Marriott Hotel the night before Monday Night Raw. And we worked with him for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, kind of picking out fabrics, swatches, all that stuff. He ended up purchasing 10 suits off of me the first night. Wow. So it was a little overwhelming. You know, by the time he got to Pittsburgh, it was about midnight. So I knew he was tired from being on the road. And for the first time getting to know somebody, you know, it's not the most ideal situation because, you know, those guys really have long days. So Titus gave me an opportunity, like I said, right out of the gate, purchased 10 suits off of me. From that point moving forward, him and I just kind of stayed in touch, and truly he's become family of mine. When I go to Florida, I stay with him and his kids, and they treat me with so much respect. And Fast forward, he called me in January or February of 16 and said, "Hey, you know, book a ticket down to Orlando for Royal Rumble." So I did. I booked it, and I spent Sunday in Orlando for Royal Rumble. Monday was in Miami, Monday Night Raw, and then Tuesday was in Tampa for SmackDown. And basically, I set up shop in backstage behind each event. I was getting to hang out with all these wrestlers, and within 3 days, I sold almost 50 suits. My clients went from, you know, one really big client to having 15, 16, 17 clients that were all significant names. And I can't speak enough of how great these people actually are. And you know, they're not clients anymore. They're friends of mine. And I think they've appreciated what I've done for them. And, you know, a lot of these guys are trying to parlay the WWE career into other things. And dressing the part is a very important portion of that. And I think I'm helping them out to achieve some other goals. But at the end of the day, these guys are all buddies of mine, and they, I know they'd do anything for me as I would do anything for them. And that's what's really got this to really take off, was just being an all-around good person on my end, but also on their end. And I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, it says a lot to just sometimes it really only takes that one really good customer in order for you to just treat them with the utmost respect and treat them just the way that you like to be treated. So congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
You know, I do actually want to switch the tone of this conversation a little bit. You know, what has been the biggest failure thus far in just your business? I mean, you mentioned briefly you have employees. Some of them, I'm sure you have to get the fabric overseas. You know, has there what has that been like for you?
So the language barrier obviously is very, very difficult. So how it works is we basically, you know, I'll shop around all over the world, buy different fabrics from different countries, India, Pakistan, Turkey. And then we send all, Italy, we send all that fabric over to our factory that's in China. So obviously our business with the time change, I can't communicate with them until starting at 8 o'clock. So the, you know, 8 o'clock till 4 or 5 in the morning, I'm up working, and then you take a quick nap and you're up again at 7 or 8 o'clock. And, it's tough because essentially I have two shifts right now, my night shift, which is dealing with the factory, and then my day shift, which is trying to run a sales team and trying to grow the business. So each shift is so equally powerful and beneficial, that I can't, really give in to not, putting all of my time in both segments right now. So you know, the adjustment from lack of sleep, from the language barrier is very difficult, trying to have communication with our factory on if something came back wrong, whose fault was it, why did this happen, and also not having any experience in fashion or measuring or custom clothing at all. Has been a challenge, but you know, those hurdles are in the past, and the horizon is looking really, really awesome. So I think we've gotten through the growing pains, and we'll still have them, obviously, because you never want to stop growing. But I think those are probably the biggest challenges that we've faced so far. Mm.
So we have a good foundation of who you are as a business professional, but I think it's good to get a better understanding of just who you are as a person. So what are some habits that have helped you become more efficient throughout your day?
Sure. Yeah, I always tell people that the start of a powerful day is when you wake up and you make your bed. So, you know, as soon as I get up, I wake up, make the bed, and I try to get to the gym. That's always been something that I've kept in focus, is because I think if you start the day with a workout, it kind of frees your mind, you get that out of the way, and you kind of have the rest of the day to kind of conquer and really accomplish everything. So it's just little things. You know, if you say you're going to do something, you do something. I have a calendar that I keep in my phone right by my bed. If there's different things that I come up with and I think of, I kind of jot those in there. And then I have my task list for the next day. And I always try to stay on top of things, because if you don't, those will end up piling up and you'll forget to do things, and you'll forget to call a customer, you'll forget to order something. And that's where the big headache lies. So I think just kind of fundamentally, you get out of bed, you get a nice workout in, and you get home and you just get after it. And you have to have a task list, because you can't just say, "Hey, I have things to do." It's like, "Hey, what do you have to do, and what time frames do you have to do?" And I've realized through this journey that time is so valuable. Whether I'm sitting down with somebody for a cup of coffee, or you know, I'm going to dinner, those have to be structured and balanced out, and I have to know what, you know, what the purpose of the meeting for coffee is. Is it going to benefit me? Is it going to benefit that person? But there also are those days where, you know, usually one day every 14, 15 days or every 3 weeks that I have to just sit there and do nothing. And that's kind of my reboot day, where I'll just sit and veg out on the couch and watch TV and not check an email, not respond to anything. And because it is such a grind and it is such an overwhelming experience, that reset button is very, very important. Because as much as I am addicted to work and love working, you have to get back to the fundamentals, and you always have to make time for friends and family, because without them, I wouldn't even be really trying to do any of this stuff. And it's important to kind of to stay tuned with reality.
Yeah, sure. I couldn't agree more. And, you know, you having employees in all different areas of the world, but also taking the measurements of the gentleman that you said you have, what, 17 different measurements?
So we have 17 different measurements that we use.
So what are some apps, or what piece of technology that you use to kind of just like – to track your day? And you don't have to go into detail about your specific process, but I want to know more about just the person, you know, like what are you using technology wise to help you get through your day?
Yeah, our biggest tools that I use are anything on Google. Google Documents are just absolutely huge for us. That's something that, you know, I used to be an Excel spreadsheet guy and all that stuff, which I still am, but through Google Docs. It's just easy for me to upload something. I can, you know, send out a group email. Everybody can hop on there, change anything, see what they need to do. That's honestly been the biggest saving grace that we've had, because it's so accessible. You know, we're working with Salesforce.com on some stuff for our client portfolios, different things like that. So we're at that point right now where we're trying to groom and cater some specific apps for us. We're actually in the developmental phases right now, where we're working with a couple people to try to put something together to make it more seamless. You know, but we're still early on in the company that we're trying to figure out the ins and outs of things. But, you know, going back to that, Google Documents has been massive for us. Google Drive, all that stuff.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, the last main question that I have, and the reason why the Blind Entrepreneur was created, was because there are people out there, professionals out there, that just don't understand what it takes in order to become an entrepreneur, or they're just stuck in this mindset and this rut where they just can't get out of. So, you know, could you speak to this and give three pieces of advice on as what has helped you become a professional that you are today?
Yeah. So, I think the biggest thing, and I tell everybody this, is patience. I know the quote or the saying, patience is a virtue. It's amazing. I'm the type of guy that I want it now. I want it tomorrow. I want it yesterday. But I've also had to step back and say, hey, if this would have happened then, it wouldn't have been right. So I think patience is going to be your biggest thing, because it's not about just starting something to start something. It's about starting a business or an idea and running with it whenever the timing is right. And I think, so number one is probably the patience. I think two is probably the fact that you have to believe in yourself. Unfortunately, a lot of people near and dear to my heart did not believe in me in the beginning. But you have to believe in yourself, because you're the only one that submerges yourself in the product or the concept or the idea. You know, I've been told a million times that my idea was stupid, that I'd never make it, that I'd never be doing X, Y, Z. And that just fuels me. Because, you know, your mindset and the way you look at life, your outlook and everything, is so powerful as far as getting to that next level. And I know it's super cliche, but you really can do anything that you want to do. And the power of thought is beyond powerful with what you can actually accomplish. And the last point is, you have to have fun, because what are you doing if you're not having fun doing it? And when I was in medical sales, I absolutely loved it. It was the best thing ever. And then towards the end, I just kind of lost that passion for it as I was growing my businesses. And, you know, I work 80, 90 hours a week to give up a 40-hour work week. And I wouldn't change it for the world. I'm in love with what I'm doing. I love the people I work with, the people I sit down with, the clients that I'm working with. And if I could work, you know, 200 hours a week, I would work 200 hours a week. I wouldn't substitute it for anything. So you have to have that passion and love for what you're doing.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, great answers, David. And thank you so much for your time. If people wanted to be a part of your journey, if people wanted to find out how to buy a suit, or at least just inquire and ask you questions. Could you just give us, you know, where people can find you and any other additional announcements that you'd like to make today?
Yeah, for sure. So our we have two platforms on social media. We have propernot.com and davidallenclothing.com, and that's A-L-A-N clothing.com. And then both of our social media handles for Instagram is just at propernot, and then is at David Allen for Instagram. So those kind of where you can follow the journey. We have a pretty significant following right now. And then as far as announcements, actually as of 5 o'clock yesterday, for the last couple weeks, we've been working with the American Cancer Society to partner with them for something, and things finally got approved on the national scale. So the Proper Knot is actually now an official partner of the American Cancer Society. So there's a lot of cool things on the horizon, potentially working with the NFL and some other large organizations. So in the month of October of 2016, you're going to start seeing a lot of pink Proper Knots pop up. And we're going to start donating proceeds of all sales for the Proper Knot towards the American Cancer Society. And it's a dream come true. So it's going to be a 2-year contract with them. And they don't partner with many people at all. So we're very, very fortunate. And timing is in our corner right now. So
absolutely. Congratulations, man.
Thank you very much.
That's huge. So, you know, all your information will be in the show notes below. And so, again, congratulations, David. And thank you so much for your time. Best of luck for you.
Thanks. Enjoy your weekend.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.